NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Straya. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and of course, whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, just hanging out, letting you know who's doing what, why they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, even during the offseason, and all while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. And speaking of repping Australia, we have a massive treat for you this week as we welcome a very special guest into NBA Australia. It is Ryan Brokoff from the Dallas Mavericks himself. That's right. We had a big old chat with a man they call Rowdy about his long and amazing journey to the NBA. We touched on some great stuff, man, like growing up idolizing Dirk Nowitzki and now being on the same team. What it's like to play professional basketball in Russia, his Olympic experience, his impressions on his new Dallas Mavericks teammates in the new city he's just moved to, as well as what his goals are for this season. It's an absolute ripper of a chat. Ryan's awesome, so buckle in, sit tight, and enjoy our talk with Ryan Brokoff of the Dallas Mavericks. All right, man, it's episode 155. It's NBA Straya. Let's go!
Oi, oi, oi! It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, and as promised, we are welcoming in to NBA Straya a very special guest. He's a 2016 Rio Olympian. He's the reigning Russian three-point champ. He's a Patterson Lakes basketball legend and the latest member of the Dallas Mavericks. It's Ryan Rowdy Brokoff. Ryan, thanks for joining us. How are you, man?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
This is awesome, man. I mean, so how are you feeling? What have the past couple of months been like for you, man? Like, you got signed by the Mavs, you got married, you moved back to the US. It was your birthday. You got a dog.
In a whirlwind, yeah. This last couple months, it's sort of hard to comprehend everything that's happened with this sort of all the workouts and then getting signed here in Dallas and getting married and doing two receptions, one in the US, one in Australia, and then an actual wedding in Bali, and then got the new place here in Dallas, so furnishing that and birthday was a couple of days ago, so that just kind of got thrown in there, and we picked up a dog yesterday. So, I can't really complain with how everything's going. It's just been such a whirlwind. It's been hard to sort of sit back and really take it all in.
Big couple of life maneuvers there, so I'm surprised that your head's not, spinning at every moment right now.
I'm lucky I've got a wonderful wife that puts everything and then does most of the organizing with everything outside of basketball. So I'm usually just there to push the cart around and just say yes or no, and she does all the rest and makes my life a lot easier, which I'm very thankful for.
Nice one. Well, how was the wedding and the reception and stuff? I mean, Dally and Dave Anderson were at the Melbourne one, right?
Yeah. So a couple of the Rivers boys made it down, and I've known Dally for such a long time, and back to our AAS days and state days, and Dave's been kind of like a little bit of a mentor for me, and obviously being from the Frankston area, we keep in touch pretty well. So to have those guys, obviously busy schedules as well, to take the time out and make an appearance at the reception down in Melbourne was amazing. So very thankful for them for coming down.
Nice. And there was an earthquake when you're in Bali. Was that right?
Yeah. We're sitting at a little Mexican restaurant sort of the bridesmaids and the groomsmen and myself and Katie, and we thought either the drinks had gotten pretty strong or the whole place was shaking. It was something very surreal and very strange feeling. Everyone kind of rushed out of the restaurant. We were kind of sitting in there like, what did we do? Sort of thing. And then, after sort of a minute or so, it sort of stopped and everything returned to normal. But yeah, just another thing to add into the mix for the last couple of months.
Damn straight. I mean, how excited about you having the dog as well? I saw that you are, it's a miniature Australian Shepherd, is that right?
That's it, yeah. Had to get a little Aussie. It's just, you know, it's adorable and something that I and my wife have, you know, wanted for a little while now, and it's just playing over in Europe and with all the travel and everything, it's just very hard to travel with a pet, and now that hopefully we'll be based in the States for a little while, we thought it was the best opportunity to sort of, you know, add another addition to the family and have something, you know, that can help keep the wife occupied while I'm on the road and traveling a bit.
I like it. It's almost the exact opposite of what we've got here in New York, because my wife travels and I'm stuck here in the New York apartment with the dog. So I think, you know, I'll tell you from first-hand experience, it works wonders.
I'm just lucky that my wife is, she's probably one of it more than I am. So she's going to spoil that dog rotten, and and she's going to enjoy just time, her and the dog.
Nice. So let's talk about basketball, you know, finally. So back to the very start of your career. I mean, what initially drew you to play basketball back home in Australia?
I think it was just sort of my parents. Mom sort of always said that she used to take me down to her games when she was still playing when I was a little fella, and you know, I'd just sort of sit there and watch the game, and you know, the rest of the kids would be running around playing, and I would just sit there and watch the game, and sort of once I got to that age in primary school where you kind of get old enough to start getting into sports. I don't come in for her or for me, but we just kind of said, yeah, let's give that a try, and loved it from the first time I stepped on the court.
Awesome. I mean, so who did you grow up watching then, apart from your parents? Were you into the NBA from a really young age?
I tried to be. We didn't have sort of Foxtel at home, so watching games was very difficult. It would be sort of, if there was a game on a, you know, weekend, I'd be at a friend's house. Would watch a couple games, but, you know, played the video games and stuff growing up and online on the internet and try to watch clips and stuff like that. But, you know, from Australia, obviously, watch guys like Andrew Gaze and Shane Heal, and even sort of as I was getting into my teenage years, like Joe Ingles and guys like that playing in the Australian National League and doing well, and guys that, you know, you kind of look up to.
Yeah. It was kind of weird because, like, I guess growing up, I mean, we're fairly similar in age. Like, you have like a weird crossover, like this golden generation of Australians. And then as we're sort of getting older as well, suddenly like Bogut is in the NBA as well. And then there's sort of like Dele and Joe, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, you know, kind of nicely sort of slipstreamed in there for Australian basketball, isn't it? It's pretty good.
It's an amazing time for Australian basketball at the moment. Basketball in Australia is just, it's so big, especially, you know, in the junior participation level. I think it's probably the biggest sport in Australia numbers wise, and to finally, you know, see a lot more guys, and there probably were guys in the past that really should have been given a go, but I think guys like Bogut really opened the door for the rest of us to kind of be seen and get our foot in the door and you know, start having great careers, and guys have really just taken it in both hands and really run with it. And you know, I'm a recipient of the work done before me.
Yeah. I mean, did you model your game after anyone specifically growing up? Was there someone who you're like, man, that's who I sort of want to be like?
No, I just sort of, whatever came naturally to me is just how I sort of try to play. I think probably when you go through, you know, the teenage years, you try and, you know, shoot like, I don't know, Kobe fadeaways and things like that. But you know, everyone's unique and different in their own ways, and you got to find what's best for you. And I think from a young age, you know, I tried to just sort of stick to what I thought would make me better and what my strengths were, and just sort of try to work on them as much as I could.
Cool. So you grow up, you're down in Frankston, you play for, you know, the local team down there that's like really well documented. They also, as you mentioned, like brought, you know, Dave Anderson was a part of the club, wasn't he?
Yeah, Dave was there. He went through all the juniors before me, and then I think went to the Australian Institute of Sport, and then NBL, and then his career just really took off after that in Europe and in NBA, and then everything. He's really the one you want to sort of emulate career wise with what he's been able to do.
Yeah, so you end up at the AIS, and then you go to the US for college, right? I mean, how was that?
It's just another thing that you sort of dream about as a kid, you know, all these things become. It's such a shock, and I got so much joy and fulfillment from doing all that stuff. You know, the AIS was an amazing opportunity, and it really helped prepare me for the next stages of not just basketball life, but life in general, and what it takes to be successful, and how much hard work you have to put in. And I'm very thankful for those 2 years, because it really, you know, set me up to go over to college basketball and get into the college system, and then build and grow from there.
For sure. I mean, what was college like in Indiana?
Basketball was number one on campus, and you know, it was very much a basketball community and state in general. And the 4 years I spent there were some of the best times of my life, both playing wise and personally. And you know, you make some amazing friends. You get to, you know, travel around the states playing basketball and seeing the countryside, and as well as getting an education, which was really important for me going through there. I didn't know if professionally was something that I would do, and for how long would be another question, that I always wanted to have a backup plan and then get an education. And I'm just very thankful that basketball has taken me where it has, but you know, unfortunately it's not going to last forever.
What did you actually major in at college?
So I did pre-physical therapy, physiotherapy. Yeah. So I'd like to get into that once I'm sort of finished. I try to look into online studying and stuff like that, but a lot of that is just hands-on. It's basically impossible if you can't get to class. So yeah, that's sort of what I'd like to do, but sort of still looking in a few different directions education-wise, maybe something in business as well. So hopefully now that I'm a little bit more settled, I can, you know, start getting stuck into something like that.
Well, now with your physio training, you can help prepare Dirk for the games at the Mavs now. Just like all the amazing stuff that he's got to go through, rest, recovery, pre-game, all that sort of stuff. You'll be able to pick up some tips that way.
I'll definitely be picking up tips. I won't be giving any tips out. I'm gonna leave that to professionals. You know, he's been doing this for a long, long time, and so the staff here. So I'll be more of a keen observer than anything else.
So you also played in, you go on undrafted after college, you sign in Turkey, you play there for a couple of years, and then you go to Russia. I mean, what was the change like playing, you know, college ball in the US, and then suddenly you're in Turkey and then actually in Russia? I mean, that's bananas, man.
It's not how, I guess, people envision basketball careers going, you know, but the opportunities over in Europe are amazing. You know, I was very lucky to end the two places that I did with Beşiktaş in Istanbul and Lokomotiv in Russia, you know, those were perfect teams for me at the perfect time. It gave me a chance to grow and develop and challenge myself and sort of each year get better and better. And then, you know, without those 5 years over in Europe, test myself at the highest level over there, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. It really did prepare me and gave me a lot of experience that I can draw on now to hopefully have a successful career in the NBA.
What were the winters like in Russia? Was that just like a completely different world?
Well, Indiana's pretty cold. I'm not going to lie, it was pretty cold during the college days. But certain parts of Russia were just, you don't know how people sort of live there. You know, the city that I was in was pretty southern, so it was a little bit warmer than most other places, but you know, we played our games, you know, heading up into sort of Siberia area, and it's minus 40 degrees outside.
Holy
with
shit.
Extra wind chill, and you kind of step outside and everything freezes over, and people are living in this sort of, you know, just a normal sort of life. There's a big city and snowbanks as high as you can imagine. And I don't know how people do it. I need a little bit of sun in my life.
There you go. You'll get a little bit more sun in Dallas, which is pretty neat. So you've signed with the Mavs. I mean, what was that feeling like after, you know, so many years of hard work at college, overseas? This could have been like a, obviously a dream come true, but was it also like a relief of like, yeah, I am good enough to make it in the NBA?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. It's a relief. It's excitement. It's nervousness. It's sort of, I guess the ultimate congratulations, sort of, that all the hard work and all the sacrifices and time spent, overseas, away from family, away from friends, everything like that, it has been worth it. I'm finally getting to live out a dream that I've had since I was a little kid, and to be a part of the Mavs organization I'm just so excited. I couldn't ask for anything more.
I also like that it, when it comes to your case, like it is obviously a dream come true for a kid, because there is the widely circulated ambition thing that you had written as a kid about making the NBA that popped up in the in a couple of articles when you signed with Dallas, which is pretty amazing.
It's one of those things that you put down as a kid, you know, your biggest goals and dreams. And I think it also playing in the Olympics is one. And now I just got to find some time to go down and play for the Cats in the AFL, and I think I'll marked off all three of them. So now I've been very, very fortunate, and this is just, you know, something that obviously I dreamt about since I was a little boy.
Nice. So what are your impressions of Dallas so far? I mean, there's a lot of steakhouses, I remember. The Dealey Plaza Book Depository and all that sort of stuff is pretty cool. Cowboys Stadium is nuts. Have you gotten to see much of it?
Done a little bit of driving around, but just sort of haven't seen too much. So I've been sort of through the downtown area and walked around a little bit, a few restaurants here and there, but a lot of the times just been sort of driving around furniture stores and bed stores and everything sort of to get the house already. But I'm obviously excited to go to a Cowboys game and check out the pitch. I can't think of what it's called, but I think it's got that huge screen in the middle, and get to an actual NFL game. That's something that I've never done yet. But the feel that I get from the city, it's very friendly. There's a great place to eat. I live right near sort of a park and a walking trail, and that's going to be great for the dog and for me and my wife, when we like to sort of get out and about. So over the next couple of weeks, when we get settled here, I'm sure we'll get out and see the city and see all it has to offer.
I dig it. Have you run into many of your teammates yet, sort of in and around the practice facility?
Yeah, I've probably three-quarters of them I've pulled on into now. There's still, you know, guys are sort of still in and out a little bit just with, their own personal commitments and everything like that. But I've been able to, you know, meet and sort of sit down and have a chat with a few of the players and just sort of start to build that relationship that becomes so important on the court. And, I'm really excited to sort of get into the group workouts and training camp and preseason. And I'm already ready for the season. So that's where my mind's at already.
I dig it. I mean, you also grew up idolizing Dirk Nowitzki. Is it just surreal to sort of think that you'll be on the same team as a legend like him?
It's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, I'm gonna use it as a chance to really learn from one of the best, and the preparation and everything that goes into his game is something that, you know, I'm gonna take lots of notes on, and we're gonna have some shooting competition, so I'll get to test myself out against my childhood hero. I haven't sort of told him that, and I hope no one does, because I'm trying to get a little bit of stick for them. But seeing him sort of, even just a few days that I have been here, he's sort of one of the first in and always one of the last leaving and doing all the right things. So no wonder why he's had the career he has.
Yeah, it's also because he's so old now that he does everything at half speed. That's how it goes. I mean, a few other international players either as well have like come into the NBA as highly touted as Luka Doncic. Did you get much of a chance to see him play back in the Euro leagues and stuff like that for Real Madrid?
Yeah, I got to see him sort of through the TV watching games. Unfortunately, we never crossed paths playing. But yeah, obviously you get to see quite a little bit of him playing, and obviously during the EuroLeague Final Four in this last season, you know, he played amazingly, and then for sort of an 18, 19 year old kid to sort of lead a team to, you know, this I guess the championship of the second best league in the world, and, you know, get MVP of that, get MVP of the Spanish league and all this at such a young age. They also won Slovenia won the Eurobasket as well. So it's amazing, you know, how he's handled all the pressure and all the hype, and I'm really excited to see him once we're all here together and get to play with him and get on the receiving end of some of those crisp passes for three corners, threes in the corner.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be able to, you know, get you some nice open threes and away you go. You'll be laughing.
Exactly.
The Mavs also signed DeAndre Jordan. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You've got this big man sort of backing everybody up, which is neat. But are you guys going to stage like a mock kidnapping in honor of him actually sort of finally making it to the Mavs?
Look, that's all. I think that's all water under the bridge. That whole thing. Look, everyone that I've spoken to, and he hasn't come through yet while I've been here. But you know, everyone's really excited for him to come, and the team in general is. There's a great mix of, you know, young and old, experienced and talented athletes, I should say, and guys can stretch the floor. So, you know, we're all really excited to get to work and start, you know, playing together and building towards the season.
I mean, that's what I was about to ask about that. I mean, I'm excited to watch this team. Like, do you almost feel like it's kind of underrated, people thinking about this Mavs team? I mean, you've already got the new human highlight reel in Dennis Smith Jr. You've got Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. You've got old Dirk. You've got DeAndre now. This team could be like really, 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 really fun to watch, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think just the blend that they put together is going to be exciting to watch. Obviously, didn't have the best season last season, but, you know, you can see all the pieces coming together and you know, it'll probably take some time. Obviously, Luka's going to have to need probably some time to adjust over here. And Dennis Smith Jr. is still very young, but just have guys like Dirk, Wes Matthews, you know, guys that have been around the league a long time to kind of, you know, help mentor and help lead the way for the young guys. And, you know, the future only looks like it's going to go up.
Nice. And so what are your specific goals for this year, like on court, playing-wise? Do you have anything that you're sort of really sort of setting up there, like writing it on the wall and just going, man, that's what I want to achieve?
I sort of haven't sort of planned too much until I sort of we get into more team-based stuff and working with, you know, Coach Carlisle and everything, and just sort of see how my role and how he envisions how I'm going to fit into the team. You know, I'm just sort of preparing myself and my body the best I can for whatever my role may be. You know, just sort of always going to be ready and lots of enthusiasm and energy and stuff like that. And then when I sort of get my chance, just sort of try and grab it the best I can. But no, I guess, personal goals or, you know, I have to do this or this or this. I'm just, you know, really excited to get out there and play in the best league and really compete against the best players in the world.
I dig it. Just going to make sure you get out there and get that second year guaranteed. bang on. Actually, one other thing I think is pretty interesting is, like, do you think you've got any advantages, like, coming into the NBA aged? I'm assuming you just turned 28. Is that right?
I did, yeah. Old man now.
Yeah, so you just turned 28 as opposed to, like, you know, fresh out of college, like most rookies. So do you think that sort of life experience and playing professionally is going to help you sort of like adapt and sort of get into the role a bit quicker maybe than would be otherwise?
I think so. I think, you know, playing over in Europe, it's very much role-based systems and game style. There's not, you know, too many, you know, superstars who take over games over in Europe, and playing sort of that role and learning to make it your own is a skill that, you know, it does take some time. And being over in Europe for the last 5 years, given the experience in so many different situations, and you know, hopefully it'll just allow me to adjust a little bit quicker and also keep me sort of more even, not so, you know, high highs and low lows, just be more consistent and more even throughout the NBA season, which is pretty long.
For sure. Are you going to be, how sick are you going to get of people comparing you to Joe Ingles?
yeah, look, I'm okay with it now. And if, you know, if it helps sort of, helps build the profile of Australian basketballers and me and Joe in particular, you know, it's okay for now. I just, you know, we do have some similarities, but we obviously do have some differences too. So I'm just excited to get out and sort of show who I am, and then, you know, maybe the comparisons will stop after that.
I dig it. What was it? So to quickly talk about the Olympics as well. I mean, what was it like playing the 2016 Olympics? That must have been immense.
It was. It's still so hard to explain. Someone put up the final foul from the Spain game the other day, and geez, it brought back some not too fond memories. but looking back, to represent your country in an event like that is something that I'll truly cherish and something that I've loved, and hopefully, you know, in the future I'll get another chance and hopefully get a little chance for redemption and hopefully, you know, finally break through and get that medal. But yeah, Rio was some, you know, some of the highest highs, some of the lowest lows, and it all happens in a couple of weeks. So it's pretty exhausting once you leave.
Yeah. I mean, you know, looking ahead, there's the 2019 World Cup, there's the 2020 Olympics. People are going to be like looking at this as one of the best chances for Australia to medal. There's just got to be like a pretty sort of nice sort of swell of excitement, even thinking about that idea, right?
Yeah, but the talent that's coming through basketball in Australia right now is hard to compare to sort of any other era. You know, we've got, you know, Ben Simmons obviously is someone who can be whatever he wants to be. You know, his first full year in the league, and you just see what he's capable of and the potential that he has. That's something, you know, Australia might not have had in the past. The guy's, you know, 6'9" or 6'10", who can handle the ball and really create for not just himself but for others. And hopefully, again, I'm on the recipient end of a few of his passes. But you know, he's got guys like Dante Exum, who's unfortunately had some injury problems, but you can just see that he is just ready to explore it on the scene. He's got the experienced guys, Joe and Patty, and his Bogut. He's able to go around again, and Haynes, and you know, younger guys, Jonah Bolden's coming through. Rich Creek's been really developing over the last couple of years. It's going to be an amazing team, but it's going to be an absolute challenge to even make that final roster. So that's great. That competition's only going to make the team better and really push us to finally break through and then medal.
Love it. Speaking of which, I mean, is there anything in your mind that you sort of attribute the influx of Australian talent into like the NBA and around Europe and around the world? Is there anything that you can attribute it to? Like, is there anything that sort of pops out? Do you think it's coaching? Do you think it's the way we play? Because it's just going in leaps and bounds now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think obviously the way we play and the sort of the mantra that the Australian basketball would have of being, you know, tough, unrelenting, you know, workhorses. You know, once you get that and start mixing in some, you know, incredible athletes and very talented guys with that same mindset and attitude, you know, it's only going to increase competition and then push guys to get better. And look, basketball in Australia is very big, and there are a lot of, you know, kids going through, and obviously with explosion of the Australians in the NBA now, the participation levels and the coaching and everything, it's just sort of all come together at the right time. And you know, there's so much talent coming through. It's unbelievable how we're going to fit it all into one team.
Yeah. And no, like, I mean, obviously there's the USA basketball Australian game next year in we're playing two games in a footy oval, like at a footy stadium. That's amazing. So obviously it's going bananas. But talking about other Australians, it's obviously going to be like super exciting to play in the NBA. What do you think it'll be like though, like running through your mind the first time you step on the court and then the first time you actually face up against other Australians like Dele or Jingles?
Look, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, obviously we're all pretty close and good friends, but sort of once you cross that line, it's business, and then we're going to go after each other and really, there's no sort of, not that we'll be dirty, but there's no sort of friends on the court. So it's going to be fun to compete against them after sort of playing with them for a long time now. And it's going to be something that, look back on and a little bit of time and probably talk a little bit of smack to each other, like, you know, I hit this on you and you should have beat me up like this, and just something fun like that I'm sure will come up in conversations in the future.
I dig it. With the season sort of sitting there, what do you think would constitute like a successful season for you as a rookie? Like just to come out the other side of it? Like what do you reckon would be successful?
Yeah, probably just rookie of the year or something like that.
I actually tried looking up your odds. I can't believe you're not listed. That, I was actually offended that you weren't listed for rookie of the year.
that's probably fair enough. So it's just going to be a season of learning and developing, and hopefully, you know, getting through it and playing well and sort of building the base for hopefully what's a long and successful NBA career. That's sort of my goal. I want to sort of stay around here with the Mavs for as long as I can. And you know, you have to produce it. It is still a business, and teams have to do what's best for them. I'm just hopefully going to show that I'm worth keeping around.
Dig it. And then finally, who wins in one-on-one at this point in time, do you reckon, you or Dele?
it has to depend on the rules. It has to depend on the rules. If it's post, I'm taking myself over Dele. You can please mention him that in that. I think it'd be really quite a spectacle to see. Be plenty of defense, and whether we actually get up any shots or not and start fighting is something else.
Yeah, you might have him. You might have him licked on the outside shot at least. And then, so your nickname is Rowdy, which is the perfect proper ironic Australian nickname. Given to you by a old coach, right? Because you were quiet.
Yes, that's exactly right. Just very, very shy, very quiet. Even through sort of my teenage years, and basketball is a game of communication and talk. And my under 16 Franklin coach Bill Williams, kind of was yelling at me one day because I wasn't talking, and then something on defense, and he's like, you got to yell, you got to talk, you got to get rowdy, That's it. I'm just going to call you Rowdy from now on until you actually start talking. And it's stuck for how many years now, and friends and family still probably refer to me more as Rowdy than Ryan.
Unreal. Do you reckon your new teammates will get stuck into Rowdy, or reckon they'll come up with a new one for you?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. It's always there, but I'm always open to new names and funny gimmicks that they can come up with.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us on NBA Australia, Ryan. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you, mate. And, I mean, best of luck for the coming season, right?
No worries. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, Brew, and you're listening to NBA Australia, Cheer, Brew. All right. That is it for this week on NBA Australia. Thank you so much to Ryan Brockhoff for joining us. What a genuinely good bloke. That was a great chat. What an absolute legend. So we, of course, wish him the very best for this year in the NBA. Make sure you're on top of NBAAustralia.com as well as NBA Australia on Facebook and Twitter. We've got our ongoing NBA Australia Never Forget off-season edition rolling with two profiles of dead set NBA legends per day. which is nuts, by the way. Also, huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia. Their new single, I've Been Broken, is unreal. Make sure you request it on Triple J or whatever radio station you listen to. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And basically, that's it for this week. Get all over the website, get all over the social media, and we will be back next week with more ridiculousness. And until then, this is NBA Australia saying, later, Hosan!